Hello, shortwave fans, and welcome to episode 10 of the UVB 76 Number Stations podcast. I'm Web Weasel, your host, and tonight from the Preom team we have, as ever, Danix111. Say hi, Danix.
Hello.
We have Bowen.
You're right.
We have Grasp.
Hello.
We have Horrorcat for a first time. Welcome, Horrorcat.
Oh, hi.
And that's everyone for tonight. Larson is busy. 4D will be joining us for the next episode, hopefully. He's back and a member of the team again, so we're looking forward to having him back on the podcast. And Trojan is having computer issues at the moment, so unfortunately won't be joining us tonight. We do miss him dearly, however. Okay, for this episode we have the last month and a bit's coverage. Because, of course, in episode 9, we only covered UVB 76 as a year special. We have a lot of activity in UVB 76 in the last week we want to cover. We've got SO6S with nice failure message. We've got a lot of site updates and changes, and Horrorcat is here to tell us about his implementation of the database. Danix has been looking at XBA2 and noticed that it's had a carrier. Plus, we've also been playing with some software to decode XBA messages, which has been a lot of fun. We've been especially following XBA and XBA2 through July and August. S30 and S32, the pip and the squeaky wheel, have both been very active through August. Avar has been tracking that quite intensively and caught a number of messages in the last few days. We have a few oddity recordings that we had a few months back that we haven't had a chance to mention in the podcast so far. And hopefully in this episode we will have the return of the Number Stations QSL competition, as we've missed that for the last three or four podcasts and we really need to bring it back because it's a great little feature. Okay, so starting tonight, I think we should cover UVB 76 activity, guys, because the last couple of days, especially Friday and Monday, have been particularly active, including a few new call signs. What's the general feeling from you guys about the activity over the weekend?
There's been lots of it. I have my personal opinions to do with the whole Libya thing, but you lot seem to disagree with me over that.
I haven't heard anything to do with Libya that you've said regarding the buzzer, but it gives me implications from the new weird messages we've had, because we've had one particular message where there was 5 call signs given instead of just MDGB, and as well as the 5 call signs, before they gave the word that they spell out in the message, there were also 5 headers, the 2-figure then 3-figure numbers. So I think that backs up the theory I had in the last podcast, where I mentioned the call sign is possibly the destination, a group that the message is destined for, and the header pertains to a particular entity within that group, so a particular agent of a particular corp, for example. That's all I've got from that, really. It's just backed that up for me.
Okay, right, I'm bullet pointing these. We'll take each one up for discussion in a sec. Danix, any particular opinions about what's been going on with UVB and the new call signs and the particular amount of messages on the 19th, the 22nd and the 24th, when we've had at least 5 or 6 messages every day?
No.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, we'll start with Libya then. Okay, Bowen, yeah, Libya has been very active. My opinion is the Russians have no interest because they have their own gas and oil reserves, and apart from a strategic interest, their best position on Libya would be to keep out of it and frown on the West for interfering and making Western governments look bad because they're interfering in Libya, and that's to their advantage in their position at the moment. Why do you feel Libya is so involved with the buzzer? What do you think about... I mean, considering we've got to the consideration that we think the buzzer is a military-based broadcast, and it's broadcasting to military units, broadcasting flash messages and so on. How do you think that relates to the activity in Libya?
Well, I'm thinking it's not so much military preparation or anything. I think it might just be, you say, even if it was to do with making the West look bad and whatnot, it could well just be them talking amongst themselves about it, saying, oh, the West are doing this, and just kind of keeping an eye on everything and then transmitting those messages between themselves. like throughout the military. So I'm not necessarily saying they're gearing up to do something or anything. It's just a case of they're talking about it, and that's the way that they're sending their messages through.
Okay.
I know they don't particularly have interest as such. As you say, they've got their own oil, they've got their own land, they don't really need anything, but mind you, that's never stopped them before. But, so I'm not necessarily saying they're gearing up to do anything. It's just more like, you know, communications about it, saying, oh, the West are doing this, the West are playing this, oh, isn't that terrible?
Yeah, you know, it certainly won't be them anything to do with them gearing up to do anything. The Russian stance on the whole Libya NATO invasion, they've frowned upon it. They want no part in it. So, whereas it could be, as you say, them chatting about it, I wouldn't think they would go to such extremes as to use such a broad coverage sort of military broadcast station to use it. Which is an interesting theory.
I wouldn't for one second even consider saying they were making a move or anything about it, like, you know, intending to do anything.
Let's invade Libya. Yeah, that could be fun. I could see that, the Russians invading Libya.
Yeah, but no, that's just my theory, and the fact that they're kind of talking about it amongst themselves, and, you know, I mean, whether or not it directly or affects them or not, that we think it's a military thing, I would imagine them just genuinely keeping an eye on everything.
I have a theory that could back it up, which would be, in response to the movement of NATO troops in the area, any proactive military would move troops to their borders and their controlled areas in order to reinforce the fact that there are more enemy troops near their borders in a particular area, in a concentrated area. So perhaps it could be military movements in response to the build-up of NATO troops, as any proactive military would do.
Oh yeah, just more of a not a defence, what would I say, a preemptive defensive manoeuvre, just making sure that nothing goes down in their areas.
Could be something to do with the troop movement as such, yeah. I definitely don't think it would be any sort of discussion, because from the formats we can see, I really doubt there's any sort of discussion involved in the messages with S-30, S-32, or indeed the Buzzer. We can see they seem to be quite apparent commands, so I don't think it's any sort of like a message where they'd be saying, oh, look at this, look at that, anything like that. I think it's saying, do this with these variations. That's what the numbers after the pre-programmed words are, I think.
Oh yeah, sorry, discussion was a bad word to use for it. I mean more like, as you say, like, be alert on this border and yeah, things like that.
Well, that could make sense. That's very interesting when you say it like that, because that would make sense as to all the different call signs we've been getting, which we'll get onto in a bit, I expect.
The best, I think you could actually maybe do some research into Russian military movement, which I'm sure we could find covered somewhere, and the correlation between that and the UVB messages.
It's a good idea. It's probably also a good idea to see if we can find anything on any of these new call signs, because we've got like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we've got 6 new call signs in the last few days from UZB. No, even more than that. 7 or 8 we've actually got. So, yeah, it could be a military movement.
My honest opinion is the MDJV call sign could actually be the units within Russia itself. And then the other call signs would be ones out of Russia, like in neighbouring countries to Libya, any Russian-controlled soil.
Very interesting theory. Kind of goes with the theory I have. I think the MDJP is a more wider covering call sign, so maybe it means all units. Maybe it's a protocol change. Maybe it's before Uzebet Simdesetchest. Maybe that was the all military units call, but now it's MDJP.
That's an interesting idea.
And when we see the new call signs like LNR4 and MBY Shuka, like we saw the other day, like maybe they're more localised or smaller units, or as Bone says, it could even be international units, because let's not forget we're picking up the buzzer on the other side of the world in certain parts. It's HF, obviously. It can get everywhere. So it's interesting that you mentioned the international call sign idea, Bowen, because I hadn't given that any thought so far. But yeah, there's some implications there.
I think what's really frustrating at this stage is we've got no triangulation results or information about the buzzer from its eastern side. Everything is from the western side that we know, and it would be really great to get an idea whether it's broadcasting into Russia or perhaps just into Asia in general, and we're just getting a backwards reflection of it. It's not intended to be received at all. Perhaps we've got a very directional antenna broadcasting into the Russian majority of the Russian Empire, which of course stretches all the way across to Japan on the other side. There's a lot of military going on and industry going on stretched all the way across. Plus, it's got a huge amount of borders. Many Islamic-dominated countries and communist-dominated countries. So I think as Westerners living in Europe, we tend to have a focus on Russia's western side, to the western half of it, even though Moscow and St. Petersburg and Volgograd and so on are dominant cities on the eastern side. We forget that Russia has this massive, western side. We forget that Russia has this massive eastern side that we tend not to look to. So I do wonder, when you say international, there's a lot of military units that would be on the borders of various different countries, particularly Islamic countries, all the way along the southern border of Russia, along that mid part in between the east and west before you hit India and so on, which could be the international call signs you're looking at. And considering how activity is starting in the Arabian regions from Egypt and Libya and onwards, and was spreading generally a few months back, we could be seeing a response to general unrest that's happening across the whole of the Middle East at the moment.
I think you may well have a good point there, Webby, and you're right, we need to look more into the eastern side and some of Russia's other territories and whatnot.
I agree, we definitely need more eastern coverage. We also need some southern coverage. It would be nice to have some triangulation results from further down the borders, maybe places like Greece, places like, if we had some African members, that would be amazing, like on the northern cap of Africa somewhere, like the Tunis and around places like that. If we had triangulation results from there as well as from the west and the east, it'd be like a sniper scope. But you're right in what you say, we've only had western triangulation results, and not many of them at that, really. Not that we know are reliable anyway. So we do need to look a lot more into somehow getting a movement to triangulate so we can get some real results on it. Because it might even turn out that it's so much further east than we expected. It might not even be in Russia, for example, the Estonia idea. But again, Estonia is on the west. But yeah, I think if we had triangulation results on all sides, I think we'll be shocked when we actually find out where the buzzer is. I don't think it's in Scuff.
Well, that could, in which case, any people on the east or anyone indeed who's listening to the podcast, by all means, please get in contact with us on the IRC or go to our website and drop us an email or anything for some information on how to build a triangulation antenna, like a magnetic loop antenna, like quite a few of us have. Lade actually made a very good PDF on how to on his website, which I believe is uvb-76.blogspot.com. Is that it?
Yeah, that's right. You can. I think you can also get there from just uvb-76.net. I think that's how I actually get there, if we're on about the same site that has the buzzer stream and anything anywhere.
Yeah, that's the one. But yeah, if you go onto there or get in contact through the IRC or our emails are all over the website and stuff, our pre-om emails. So yeah, if you want to get in contact through that, and we'll do everything we can to help you on your way to getting one of these antennas. And I mean, triangulation isn't an exact science, so we're gonna get some degree of
error.
Error. Thank you very much. Yeah, we're gonna get some degree of error. So yeah, so if we can get everyone to do it, the more people we can get to do it, we can lower that margin of error and at least get a rough area.
Well, the more results you have, the more accurate the average result becomes, until the point you get almost pinpoint accuracy from the number of results. It's where statistics works.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's all just maths at the end of the day. We're all good enough at maths.
It's ridiculous. It's one of those things I loved about mathematics. If you take a bunch of human beings, right, and say you put, you get a jar full of marbles, for example, right, and you get 1,000 people to estimate how many marbles are in the jar, you will get down to an accuracy within 2 or 3 marbles from the average, because the average calculation for all those guesses would be that accurate.
Oh, exactly. So we might not end up with the exact location, but then we'll end up with an area at least. So then, I mean, I dare say we can find someone who lives near there to at least look into it a bit more. Or, you know, we've got Google Maps and we can find something if we can get a rough area.
Yeah, like, if any Russian listeners who aren't already part of us in the ISA, please join us again. That would be a great help. More eyes and ears in Russia as well. And we can definitely say it's not in Povodovo. And yeah, again, I don't think it's in Skov either. I think it's going to surprise us when we actually get some real great triangulation results.
That, or we wait for Troyan to learn how to drive.
Yeah. Or we wait for me and Exo6 Shadow to cross the seas and have a bit of a drive about in Russia till we find it.
Okay, I always said a portable RX and a magnetic loop antenna on top of the car, you'll find it eventually.
That's the plan.
One day, guys, one day. Okay, let's have a look at the call signs themselves, because this message with the 5 headers is ridiculously interesting. I mean, we've got the 2 call signs we've seen already, which is KZJT and MBYSHCH. Danix, could you pronounce the 5 call signs for us, please?
Which one?
The message where we've got the 5 with KZJT, MBY, SHCH, 8Z, 8Zenya, SM, 1SG5, 6YE4N, August 24th, 2011, 0357.
I don't have that page open.
I've got them in front of me. The call signs were Konstantin, Zenaida, Kratky, Tatiana, Mikhail, Paris, Yeri, Shuka, Voismyorka, Zhenya, Semyon, Mikhail, Yedinitsa, Semyon, Grigory, Pietyorka, Shesyorka, Yelena, Shetvyorka, Nikolai. They were the call signs.
That's the ones.
And then that message also had 5 headers, which I'll say those in English numbers so the internationals know. The headers were, which was the same amount of call signs as well, by the way. So I imagine, therefore, the call signs in order. So the headers were 50, 617, 99, 919, 63, 819, 24, 832, 05, 598. Then it proceeded with just one word message, which was Splavshika, 13, 48, 33, 24. And that was the full message, so there was only one command, and it was to 5 headers in 5 call signs. Again, it seems the call signs would be, for example, KZJT was the first call sign, so the first header, 50617, I imagine applies to that.
Yeah, I think you're probably correct with the breakdown of the headers and the call signs. Before we analyse that message too deeply, let's mention the other two, because we've got the IA6N, which we just managed to mention in the last podcast, but has occurred again on August the 22nd, and the OYEUN, which also occurred on August the 22nd, just a few minutes before, and was a message with 4 words in it, which I think we've only seen once before in 2010.
Interesting as well, those same 4 words came up in a message later on in the day, not much later on, for a different call sign.
Yeah, it was exactly the same message. Now, what's interesting about this one is 2 different call signs, but the header is the same for both messages.
Yeah, that was something that threw me, and that's something that kind of maybe implies my theory of call sign is the greater destination, header is the smaller destination within the call sign. Maybe that says that my theory about that's wrong, or maybe it implies that Olga Yelena Oleana Nikolai and Ivan Anna Shestyorka Nikolai, the two call signs it was given for, have an agent or whatever with the same header in it. Interesting thing is, we've seen the IA6N call sign before, I believe. Oh no, sorry, that was new on.
And the 22nd is the Monday, so it's a second message for IA6N.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, we've seen two for that, but the Yelena UN, that was a completely new call sign, but it was given the same message as IA6N.
Now, what really frustrates us here is we've seen when messages have been broadcast to two different call signs in the past, they've also had the same header. But then we get this message with five call signs and five headers. It really starts to make you wonder a few questions. Is the OYEUN message actually broadcast by mistake with the wrong header, or the wrong call sign, and it was actually destined for IA6N, and they just read out the wrong one from the list?
Well, the latter could be true, but the first suggestion that maybe they gave the wrong header, I very much doubt that. They're a very, very professional group. Every time there's the start of a problem, we hear someone in the background say, no, it's wrong, do it again, they give the call again. And lately we've heard Oi's voice boy a few times in messages where they realise themselves have fucked it up and they go ahead and do it again. So I doubt it's the wrong header, and I indeed doubt that they accidentally gave it. I think it's they're both genuinely the right message for the right call sign.
Yes, odd. Very curious. I mean, that's something definitely to mention as well, is the last few messages we've had, there have been quite a number of mistakes, whereas up until the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've had perhaps 2-3 mistakes in the entire time, the entire year we've been listening to UVB. But in this last few weeks, we've had quite a number of mistakes, which is very, very curious. We've got the same voice, the same guy speaking, but he said, "Spoy, spoy, spoy," several times in several messages, which is really unusual.
Yeah, but yeah, what you're saying, it being the same voice, it's right, listening to the messages a lot, it is definitely the same voice. So if he's just having an off day, I mean, at the end of the day, it is just a human being, so maybe he's ill or something even, something's affecting him, maybe he had a headache or a migraine that week. There's any amount of things it could be, but it is interesting to note that it's the same guy, and there's been a spate of mistakes recently.
Actually, what's interesting to note is, thinking about it over the year, you can definitely hear his emotional state when he's broadcasting the messages. Some days he's really fast and he's really chirpy, like he's had loads of coffee. Some days he seems really depressed. Some days he's been slurry and drunk. But we've had the same guy consistently for a year now, considering he's definitely, from the recordings we played last week, he was definitely in the first few messages from MDZHB. And if I remember rightly, he probably broadcast one of the last few BB76 messages. So we've had the same guy working at the same station for a year, and we've had an interesting following of his emotions through this period, from how he's speaking when he's reading his messages. And he does vary very much. And thinking back on it stands out quite a bit.
Yeah, I've noticed it too. For me, that's what brings the sort of human this element, the sort of soul to the radio when you hear things like that. There's a particular Russian vomit. I thought it was Rostov, but I don't think it is actually Rostov. It's live, and it's female. It's always the same female operator. Some days she sounds so sad, like she's had like the worst news ever. Someone's just told her a family have died. She sounds that sad. And other times she sounds like she's eaten a full bottle of Prozac. She's so upbeat, and it's the same woman. So I don't know. For me, all that does really is just gives you the human element. It shows you, even though they're giving out these robotic commands, they are just people at the end of the day, so they're only made of the same stuff as us. So UVB are only people as well.
I think that's the biggest lesson I've taken away from all the people that UVB has introduced me onto the internet. One of the reasons I've really started Preom and the podcast and everything is because I came here and I learned that the image of good and evil and black and white and cowboys and Indians and so on that I'd been brought up with turned out not to be true, especially the portrayal of East versus West, and growing up as a child of the Cold War, it not ending until, you know, after I was old enough to perceive what was going on around me, it's left a lasting impact on what I was taught by the world and then what I discovered for myself. And what I discovered is, no matter where you go, people are just people all over the world. But those that are in power will try and teach you that these people are your enemy. That the common citizen is never your enemy. It is the people who are in charge and are trying to make you perceive them as your enemy that want you to go to war for their foolish reasons. And one of the big reasons of founding Prion is to give a community from people all over the world to come together and communicate and realize that they don't really have any fundamental differences as individuals. It is only the powers that be that make them want to believe that they do.
That's exactly right.
Anyway, enough philosophy, back to the messages. Yeah, so, okay, we've had a whole bunch of new call signs. We've had a spate of activity. We should also probably mention now, at the same time, we've had activity on S30 and S32, the Pip and Squeaky Wheel. We've really got to praise Avar for keeping an eye on those stations. He's uploaded so many recordings to the website, I have not had time to catch up and actually update the page, put the transcriptions up. I believe in total we've had 5 or 6 messages from S30 and S32 across the two over the last few days. But also, he's discovered a new frequency, which, if I remember correctly, 6983, though I might be misremembering that. But on that frequency, we have had MDZHB style messages, just like we've had on the Pip and Squeaky Wheel as well, including hearing an echo of the buzzer in the background while the message has been broadcast, which, if I remember rightly, was just last night when we heard the first example of it, and was also heard this morning. So again, brand new information that I've yet to manage to sit down, consume, and update the website and analyse so far. But in the last 24 hours, we've picked up a new frequency that appears to be being broadcast from the same site or the same communication centre, which is not necessarily the same transmitter site, as UVB76. So, particularly interesting. Guys, as a whole, what's going on? We've got, 4 stations now that have been very active in the last week. And forget Libya, we've discussed that.
I was just about to go, Libya.
Well, I haven't really had much said to me about the whole UVB style message station that was found in the 6 megahertz range. I saw something said in the IRC, but I haven't read deeply or spoken to anyone about it. But it's very interesting if there's a new station in the same sort of group, the same sort of family, if you will, as S32 and so on. It backs up the theory that they're all, again, very related, the fact that they've been very active lately. I actually did a bit of analysis just last night on the call signs. I've got a big collection of S30 call signs here, all the S28 call signs we've ever heard, and all the S32 ones that we've got recorded. And I checked them, if any of them match, because the similarity of the structure of all of the call signs is it's quite striking. The vast majority of them are 4-digit. Some of them have numbers in. The ones that do are mainly 2 numbers and 2 letters. There are some throughout the spectrum of them, all of them, the S30, S32 and S28 call signs, that are very similar. For example, 8N, 8JET for S30. There's one in S28 we've heard recently, 8JET SM. Just quite close, but there are no direct matches, which is interesting. So unless they have different call signs for the same destinations, it shows that these stations aren't broadcasting to the same people. So maybe he's in Russia at the moment. There's something that's got the military very active. It's something I think we're going to need to speak more to Troyan and Avare about. I'd like to back up your prayers to Avare, by the way, about the S30 and S32 recordings lately. because they're what I've been working from to get the analysis. And we've got a lot to work with now, which is great, because we didn't have much for Pip or the wheel until lately. So thanks to Avira for that. But yeah, it's shown to me that there's either a lot where we've been ignoring, or there's been a big increase in Russian military activity lately.
Actually, I think the thing we should take from it is probably all three stations, the Pip, the Squeaky Wheel and the Buzzer, there's two answers to our questions of activity. Either when UVB came active in August of last year, which we believe is down to a reorganisation of the military around Moscow, which was actually announced in the press at the time and correlates with the activity burst between all three stations, or they've always been this active and people just haven't been looking enough. I do wonder, considering E2K have only ever marked down the Buzzer and basically said they don't pay attention to it in their newsletters, whether we're just the first people to actually really start looking at these stations. The internet has given us the ability to communicate, which hasn't been available in the last 30 years for groups of hams and so on that were interested in number stations. And this has actually been going on all along, and we're just actually discovering what's always been happening. It does beg a few questions, doesn't it?
No one else going to take the point there?
Is Bone still here? He's been rather quiet for the last 20 minutes.
Yeah, I'm still here. Right?
I think maybe now the whiskies and things are starting to take hold.
Sorry, I just couldn't think of anything to say. I'm quiet. Merry.
Yeah, the whiskies are taking hold. It's Christmas here in #UZB. Well, it was the other day. It was the anniversary of Naivina, as we said on the podcast. What?
What did you say? I didn't hear it.
Oh, I'm just explaining to the listeners that on the anniversary of the Naivina message on the 23rd, so like 3 days ago, that was our Naivina Christmas. We had the special Naivina channel in Freenode. I think it was on Freenode. And yeah, then it was Boxing Day the day after. So we're still all drunk from that. So anyone listening, you have to excuse this podcast being slow. On the point of the podcast being slow as well, Webby, are we actually putting in any messages to this one, any recordings, or is this purely chat, this one?
No, I'm going to splice a few of the messages in. At appropriate points where we've mentioned them, I'll just add them in, which is how we did the original podcast.
Cool. But
we're flowing nicely, so it's good, man. I'm not sure if there's much more we can cover on UVB76 though, because it's that's pretty much it for the last couple of weeks, really, isn't it?
I'm assuming you'll be cutting this bit out in post-production, yeah?
No, this will be left in. It's fine.
yeah, I think we've just covered all the...
Just those kind of drunken pause in the middle.
Well, it could always be shortened down, but it doesn't need to be. Music in the background doesn't make a difference. But yeah, I think that's everything for S28 activity, at least lately. We've mentioned how the header seems to be being a destination given through call sign, but that's a theory that's now challenged by these new messages with crazy header types. And yeah, I think we've put everything we need to for that for now.
Okay, so what else?
Okay, what's next on the agenda?
I think we'll leave out the two oddities recordings because they're really Troyan's thing to speak about, because he picked them up with Linus and he's written a nice little bit of script and everything. So we can save that for the next podcast. They're a couple of months old. They're interesting. We need to look into them a bit more and see if we can find more of them, and we will do. We check the frequencies and so on, but we just haven't heard any more examples. But it's his little piece, so I think we'll leave that for another podcast. Just having a look, see what else we've got through. I've got the S30 and S32 messages here, actually, and they're worth mentioning because, as you said, there's a whole bunch of call signs in both of them. None of them match up with any of the MDZB call signs that we've heard, but there is a whole bunch of them, so go and have a look on the S30 and S32 web pages and notice the huge amount of call signs.
Notice the great similarity between those of the call signs for the buzzer as well. Not so much S32. Every S32 call sign doesn't seem to be these groups of phonetic thing, phonetic letters and numbers. They're instead little names like Rubin, Cowboy, Fonten, Yapka. An interesting thing about them, though, there's a lot of them end 94. There's Rubin 94, Sleeva 94, Yapka 94, and yeah, that's actually it for the 94s. And there's also two Rougier call signs. It's Rougier 23 and Rougier 73 on S32. So, though they're not much like the S30 and S28 call signs, they're still interesting ones.
Yeah, it's interesting. Very consistent four-letter format between almost all of them, isn't there?
Yeah, except S32. That's the one. Has just a name or a word. Like, for example, Fonten, a word, or then Cowboy, which would be a name, really. And then a two-figure number after each of those.
And, of course, S28 not calling Taxlishno Prion after every message, which the other two do. So it makes...
Well, actually, S30 doesn't always do that. It has two formats. It has a format where it'll say for several call signs, then it'll ask for reception report at the end, Taxlishno. But it also gives out messages in the same message, same format as the buzzer, where it's got a header, a word, then it's got four two-group numbers, interestingly similar to the S28. When it does that, it usually gives the call sign 8S1 Shooker, but it doesn't always give that. But another interesting thing is that they've also asked for a reception report from 8S1 Shooker. So whether two different, or maybe a multiple amount of different groups use the PIP to broadcast, maybe all military stations or something, I don't know, have an uplink to use S30 to broadcast a message. I don't know, because like I said, there's been messages for 8S1 Shooker and from 8S1 Shooker on S30.
Now that is interesting. Both ways is very interesting.
Yeah.
I think the general thing we can take from the three stations, though, is we can probably at this stage, a year in, we can generally conclude that they're not number stations. They're not for espionage, and they're not broadcasting to spies in foreign countries. And the buzzer is just a channel marker, an odd one, a weird choice, but probably just a channel marker. It's not atmospheric research, it's not over the horizon radar, there's nothing special about it in any way, except it makes a buzzing noise, and some poor person has to sit there and listen to it every day until a message comes, and then go shouting to some other poor person. They then have to go and follow more military orders. But considering the similarities between the structure of the messages and the call signs between the three stations, and we can't say that S30 or S32 Squeaky Wheel PIP are atmospheric research or over the horizon radars or anything else except channel markers, we can draw a reasonable conclusion based on the information we have so far that they're just military stations. And they're just channel markers, and the buzzer isn't anything special, unfortunately.
I still go by my theory of the fact that the buzzer is, in fact, used for recording purposes. You know that I mentioned it was a couple of episodes ago now, but it was the fact that it was used. So basically, when the buzzer stopped, an automatic recording or an alert or something, it caused an alert or a recording to start, and that basically alerted people to a message. Which is my opinion.
That's a good theory. I could work with that. I think as far as the channel marker things or any sort of radar, anything, I think that's something, or dead man's hand. They're all theories that can be buried a long time ago, as far as I'm concerned. They are just channel markers, all three of them, because they've changed. They've changed how they sound. They've changed distance between how often they sound. So if it's a device turning on and then turning off, like the way a Morse transmitter works, for example, like opening a carrier and then turning it off, like they change too much to be anything sort of radar research or whatever. They don't sound like radar research when you look at them, look at the spec, the signal in the spectrum, like on a waterfall or a spectrometer or whatever they're called, you can see it's nothing special. They are simply channel markers.
Yep, military stations, that's what we're following. General conclusion. Okay, guys, I think the way should we... Unless anyone's got more to cover on the buzzer they want to talk about, the way you should carry on with the podcast is cover the few bits we've got on XPA and SSX. Let Horrorcat talk about the database, and then have a general chat about what we've been doing on the website for the last month or so, because we've done a lot of work between the lot of us, considering.
Yep, I'm cool with that.
Just before we move on, just so we've got it out there in the podcast all in one piece, I just want to explain the formats really quickly of each of the S28, 30 and 32 stations. S28, the buzzer, basically always gives the same format. Sometimes it's devoid of a header, sometimes there are extra headers, sometimes the message is bigger, there are more words, but it's always the same basic format. With S30, it has two formats. Like I said, it'll ask a call sign or several call signs how they're receiving, or it'll give a call sign and then send a message, which, as I said, one of the call signs it asks for reception for, it uses when it gives a message. So whether it means that's who it's for or that's who it is, we're not sure. S32 does the same thing as S30. It'll ask certain call signs how they're receiving, or sometimes it'll give a message in the format of S28 and the S30 messages. When it does that, it gives the call sign Alpha 45. So we can be quite sure the S32 call sign itself is Alpha 45, and 8S1 Shooker is probably the PIP's usual call sign. Other than that, that's S28, S30 and S32 fully covered for me.
Okay, fantastic. Right, let's mention SO6 and its failure. Now, interestingly, there have been a couple of others. I can't think of which particular stations, but I'm really sure that EO7 has had one of these. That's SO6 failing. Now, we've heard, I'm pretty sure, EO7 failing as well. Now, it seems pretty common. Once every 20, 30 messages or so, you'll hear a skip or a failure or something go wrong or a pause in the middle of a group, like it was with SO6 then. I have to wonder, you know, these seem pretty professional, really, but it's something to look out for. You do get these odd messages every now and then, these odd failures, these odd gaps, repeats. There was a Morse message for MDZB the other day that's on the website somewhere, where halfway through the message, the operator sends EEEEEEE, which is E five times, which means ignore last statement, it was incorrect, the operator made an error, and then repeats the message again. So, as a whole, there's been a whole bunch of failures and errors with a general bunch of number stations, SO6, EO7, if I'm remembering rightly, and the Morse MDZB messages we've mentioned in the last podcast, which have been noticed. Failures happen quite regularly with number stations. Couldn't say why, I'm not operating one.
It's strange because things like SO6S, not too much EO7, but SO6S, it sounds so professional, but it makes you think it's done all by a computer. The message is put into some sort of computing system and that relays the message out onto the radio. But when you hear something like a stop in the middle of a group, that kind of indicates the... there's a person sending the message and they've kind of lost their place in the message that they're looking at as they hit the appropriate buttons to say the appropriate numbers. EO7, to me, it's always felt like it's sent live. Someone using some sort of machine like the things you see on YouTube that the East Germans used to use, where they'd program things and you could run it by tape. Or you could simply press number buttons and it'd say the appropriate number. EO7, the way it's done to me, just seems like that's how EO7's done. For SO6S, yeah, it's weird, because it, I don't know if it's a mechanical failure, maybe it's their computer that runs the machine, maybe it's that rebooted or something. Like we hear E25 use Windows, clearly, for some things.
Yeah, maybe it's
So maybe it's SO6 S does the exact same. We all know how shit Windows is. So, you know, maybe it's the computer running SO6S's voice crashed or something.
I guess it's possible, or hard disk lag or something like that. Yeah, you do have to wonder.
Yeah, there's a host of things it could be, really, but it's probably, if it's mechanical, mechanically run, it's probably just the computer's rebooted or something weird like that, or the machine ran out of battery so they quickly plug it back in, I don't know. Or if it's done live, it's very easy to lose your place while you're reading from a bunch of numbers and pressing buttons, I imagine, so that it would explain that.
Okay, let's talk about XO6, XPA, and XPA2, because we've had a few catches of those this month, haven't we? Danix, are you about?
XPA keeps its three schedules, meanwhile XPA2 has or had approximately seven. However, many XPA2 schedules has gone on the beginning of August. More regular ones got 20-minute delay between repeats. Maybe those with 10-minute delay are not completely numbers related, not that important, or they could be for foreign Russian embassies. Three XPA schedules are early morning, 5 a.m. UTC, afternoon, 2 p.m. UTC, and early evening, 6:30 p.m. UTC. The early evening one seems to send a message every time and is often weekly received in the UK, but comes very well here in Poland. Afternoon one sends few messages a month, and early morning one often sends very long ones. On August the 16th, I recorded 485 group message, and is the strongest schedule of them all. On August the 10th, I heard XPA battle with courier. It's interesting because XPA2 is usually sent in USB and used to be sent in AM in October 2007. Maybe recipient had the AM-only receiver, who knows.
Yeah, we've had quite an interesting tracking of all three stations, both XPA, XPA2 and XO6 this month. Unfortunately, Danix can't say much about XO6 because of his involvement in E2K and the promise not to discuss any of his XO6 activities. So we can only tell you about my own recordings. XO6 we'll start with, just because we've had a few brief catches. On August the 22nd, Presented in 4D gave a shout and said that he had XPA on 10.7.3.1, and I picked that up in the UK incredibly strong with the sequence 164.5.3.2. Now, of course, when XPA is out and about, you need to have a look around if it starts or stops, because it tends to have several multi-broadcasts, either multicasts, or when it stops and starts, it will start again on another frequency. So having a look around, I also caught it on August 22nd at 9 o'clock on 11.4.1.1, and again at a few minutes past 9 on 12.1.9.5. The 11.4.1.1 was the sequence 164.5.3.2 again, but the later sequence heard at 21.03 on 12.1.9.5 was the sequence 314.265. Which on Preom we hadn't logged before. Now we've only got six loggings via XO6 itself on Preom at the moment, so it's interesting to have picked up a new sequence. Also this month, we had a bit of software that I'd love to talk about. Now, I was sent by someone on the internet a zip file, and you know, it's always nice to receive interesting zip files with interesting bits of software in. It's a piece of software called Sorcerer. Now, we've looked into this, and the company that made Sorcerer has been sold off to another company, and they no longer support or even mention the software on their website. There's no mention of the software itself anywhere on the internet at all. Yet, built in, it has an XPA decoder, an XPA2 decoder. Unfortunately, the XPA2 decoder is from an older version of XPA2, probably when it was running on AM, and the bandwidth of the sequences are different, and it doesn't match up with the tones. But the XPA coder still works. Now, we've obviously shared this bit of software amongst the group at the moment, and we've tried emailing the company and say, hey, we've found this great bit of software, we'd dearly love you to pay us for it, because it's a fantastic bit of software. do you still own the rights? What can we do to obtain it legally? And we've had no response. So at this stage, we can only consider it abandonware, and we're considering making it available on the website for general public to download themselves. But until we get a response from the company confirming that we'd have permission to do that, obviously we're not willing to put ourselves up for pirating software, so we'll have to keep it to ourselves. But we have picked up a piece of software that decode XPA messages nicely, so any XPA catches we get from now on the website will hopefully be decoded properly, and we'll have a full message printed out on the website and entered into the database for analysis. Now, I suppose that's a good time for Horrocat to step in and tell us about the database and its API. Horrocat, are you about it?
Webby, you said when describing X06, you said XPA.
Oops.
Okay, in the last 3 months we have been working on the database, which is an attempt, let me see.
Okay. Does it work?
Yes, voice activation is better when I'm going to talk for a longer time. So, in the last few months we have been working on the database, which is a project where we want to collect all the number station information we actually have currently on our website in one large database. For now, we have prejump.org, where we have all the information we collected in a static way. That means when something changes, somebody has to log in into the backend, find the page in our navigation, and change it manually with some what you see is what you get editor, or even fiddling with the raw HTML, which is obviously not good and not efficient in regards of keeping it up to date. Also, the database would allow us to perform targeted queries on all the data we have collected, like looking for duplicates in messages of S28, or looking for recent transmissions of a certain station, or which station is up at which frequency. You could, for example, have received some weird transmission at a given frequency, and you want to look up whether this station is known, and so you just ask the database, what's on this frequency? Yes, it's S28, and you can assign this message to a certain station without having to do long searches on our website. And, well, the idea to have this database came up when Danix actually created his first website about UVB, where he collected all the messages in a table, which was the moment when I thought, hey, having that in a database where you can run queries is a better way to deal with this kind of data. So I did some scripting and ended up with a table of UVB transmissions, which I also made accessible to the UVB monitoring members. Prism didn't exist at that time. Wow, and more people got involved, and we developed a database scheme to actually contain all kinds of transmissions and stations we currently know. Also, it's meant to be extendable, so actually there should not ever be a kind of transmission we cannot put into the database. So, yes. When we went to set up all this, we first tried to do it right on prejump.org using the content management system we use, Umbreco, which runs on .NET, so that we have to use a .NET compatible language. In our case, it was at first C#, but it was really hard to get all of this stuff running with the database, and keeping all the data in structures in C#, well, was no fun at all, especially for me, because I don't like C# at all, and I had to develop on a Linux system for .NET, which is also not fun. And thus I peaked Webby until he tried to set up IronPython on the server, well, this worked, but when using Python as database, if you ever tried it, you may have run into the Storm framework, which is a great framework to access databases in Python. If you've ever used it, you know what I mean. And, well, there's no way to get Storm working in Python. So, moved on. I set up another Linux virtual machine on my server, set up MySQL, Apache, and Python, and continued the development of the database there. Well, for what I spent a few weeks in C#, actually was done in one and a half weeks in Python. And, well, now we have a setup based on Python, WebStack, Storm, and Apache, which serves the content of the database in XML. You can actually query the database just using your browser if you want to obtain some information. You could just try it. api.prejom.org/api/. And then, for example, station/1 will give you the information about S28. And more documentation is to come so that users who did not develop the database can actually use the API server. But, well, the main point is to get the information to the website. For this, we again use C# and and do HTTP requests to the API server and format the data using XSLT, and maybe there will be some caching to reduce the load of the database server, but these are technical details. Another way to interact with the database currently is a desktop application, which has also been written by me to enter and modify all data in the database. And before all those blackheads among you get excited, no, there's no raw SQL sent to the server which is to be executed, and yes, there are authorization mechanisms which are probably safe. So don't even try to send raw SQL to the server. And, well, we also have planned another application which will allow more users to log transmissions they received with their radio. It will require less privilege and won't be able to delete any contents on the database, so we will also enable automatic registration for these accounts, so you can submit your recordings and your logs of transmissions you catched. Yes, this was basically the main points about the database. Another important thing we are implementing is also the schedule system. We actually plan to reflect all the schedules we currently know, like PIP's day and night schedule, or complexer schedules like XPA or X06. Do we have schedules for that? I don't know. But if we have one, we will add it to the database, and the database will automatically parse this schedule and put upcoming broadcasts into a list so that you can also query which broadcasts are upcoming the next week. And if you may have heard that Late is currently parsing our Google Calendar to tune on SDR automatically to the current number station, which is currently broadcasting using the information on the schedule, and this will probably also be ported to the database so that you can just listen to one stream and this stream will automatically switch to the current number stations. Well, these were the main points. I guess some of my fellow broadcasters will have suggestions or discussion points about the database. If not, Webweasel will know what to do now.
Yeah, well, ultimately, what it really gives us is flexibility. There's been attempts at implementing number station database before, but they've only given them simple querying ability and not really anything more than very, very basic queries from a single table with all the messages in from all stations, which makes it very difficult to do any proper analysis. What we've got is a schema that's been developed as a group between us, all discussing the way we would like to look at how we could analyze stations, how we could compare stations, because we know that there are relationships between stations. They've been grouped into families, as Danix has explained in previous podcasts, according to the activity of stations and where more stations and, say, E number stations are broadcasting the same message, we can know that they're working from the same organisation. However, what we'll be able to do is set up pages that go compare E10 with S30 and see what similarities there are through the messages or through the headers or through the broadcast times or through the schedules or through any combination between any kind of data set we've got within the system. We can program very quickly with the Storm framework, if it doesn't exist already, but quite likely the majority of queries that we're going to want to perform will be developing into the system over the next few months, so that we can do some quite interesting analysis. So the more data we get within our system, within the database, the more relationships we can build between the stations, and more information we can discover that's hidden in the messages that we receive, and the broadcast times that we receive, and the schedules that we receive, and be able to build up much more broader and interesting picture of relationships between stations and activity of stations themselves. So we've got a lot of interesting ideas coming. We need to integrate it with the website so far, finish populating the database. I think we should congratulate Bowen particularly for working so hard at the moment. Well done, Bowen. Cheer.
Woo!
He's been the pre-om slave entering huge amounts of information into the database. I've been so busy working on updating the S28 page with its activity and editing podcasts and so on, keeping the site up to date and managing the community on the IRC, I've had absolutely no time apart from setting up the initial XML access with the database within the Umbraco server that Horrorcats explained to you recently to have a look at implementing the database. But I'm so pleased to see that once again, we've managed to build a great community, and we've got a team of people who've gone off, taken these tasks that people need to do and just run with it without any needing a prompting or saying, hey, you must go and do this, or being ordered to. The enthusiasm amongst the group to getting stuff sorted and keeping the website up to date is fantastic. And I can only say, if you're listening and you enjoy what we're doing, come and join us and get involved in the group.
Especially if you can do SEO. I hate SEO so much.
Didn't I tell you this would happen? Anyone who gets involved in SEO hates it. For those who don't know, SEO is search engine optimization, and it's setting up your website so that the Google and other search engines will rank it properly when people put in search terms. So instead of getting loads of websites that have got nothing to do with the words you typed in, you get pre-om when you type number stations. So Bone's been working on that, and he's discovered the horrible, horrible world which is SEO, search engine optimization. And we can only have great sympathy for him, and every programmer who's listening will have great sympathy for poor Bowen right now.
It's horrible.
But it doesn't seem to work properly. I tried number stations right now in Google, and I cannot find Prejom on the first two pages, as far as I can see.
Prejom should be on the second page with number stations in two separate words.
Cannot even find it on the third.
What are you using?
It's on the fourth page at the bottom.
Are you using number stations one word?
No, two words.
Oh, well, it was second page. One sec.
See, there we go.
Well, maybe Google fiddled with the result very much. I have seen a TED talk about that. It really depends on what you search and what you search in the other times. And when you often look for number stations and scroll until you find Prejom, you probably get it ranked higher or something. Also, I'm currently using the SSL version of Google. I don't know if that has any influence.
Yeah, it does. So I've noticed the difference between google.co.uk, it ranks a lot higher than it does on Google SSL. Recently, when Bowen was working on it about a week ago, on Google SSL it was on page 7, but on Prejom, on Google UK, some of the searches he was doing was coming up on page 1, and I was checking on SSL and they were nowhere near page 1, they were on like page 5 or 6. So there's a big difference between every country that Google does in its rankings.
As well with the SSL, it doesn't take into account what you've previously searched for and stuff. So on, I guess really, if I'm doing SEO, I should really be using the SSL so it ignores anything I've previously typed in.
Yes, probably. You should.
Grand. Now, so instead of now me being happy, it's like, yay, it's on page 2. Now it's going to be like on page 7. Sad face.
Yeah, well, as I say, it probably hasn't been spidered yet, so it doesn't matter.
I'm still waiting for it to update the cache, because there's a typo in the meta tag for the description, and it's radio missing the A, and it's really annoying, because like whenever you see Priom on Google, it's just got that, and it's just like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Okay,
well, so I'm waiting for it to be recached. Screw you, Google.
The general thing to take away from all this is Priom is growing again. We've gone through one of those growth spurts that every group has, where people get more enthusiastic and involved. The database is coming along massively. We're very close to being able to start swapping the pages over, so instead of being a manually updated HTML page done in the CMS, it actually runs from the database properly. We'll be rolling out those pages very soon in the next few weeks, and Priom can already start to grow from that point forwards. And overall, the site has had a massive amount of work on it over the last few weeks. We've had a couple of new members, with Snow and CKRT joining the Priom team in the last few weeks and being given access to the website. And as I say, anyone listening, the way to get involved, drop in the IRC, post your recordings, post your transcriptions and messages, shout out stuff when you see it on the radio, show that you're being involved in Number Station. Give it a week or so and you're going to get a Priom login, because we are just encouraging as many members as we possibly can. So come along and get involved. But either way, we've had a couple of members in the last few weeks have joined in. It's great to see CKRT is on the American side and has been updating some of the V pages. Token's been getting more involved in updating some of the V pages as well. So we're getting more coverage on the American herd stations, the VO2s, VO2As and so on. Go and have a look at those pages. They've had a lot of updates. Danix has done huge amounts of work again. Once again, I can only praise Danix for the amount of work he does on the Priom website. If you look through pages, especially through the Slavic and English stations, and browse through the information that's been posted, most of what you can see is Danix's stuff almost everywhere. He has filled out huge amounts of information, and we're incredibly proud of the site from the work he's done. Recordings coming in from all kinds of people. The site is very, very active. If you look at the top layer, it's not always obvious that there's been huge amounts of updates, but you need to have a look around the active stations. Click on the Number Stations link and have a look at the English, German and Slavic stations particularly. Any that are listed as active, we've probably caught a recording of recently. The Buzz has been very active, S30, S32 has been very active, SO6 we keep a good eye on, Ethereum, been quite a few other stations up in the last few days. So have browse around the site, you'll find a lot of logged recorded messages and recordings you can have a look at, and start getting interested in other stations. If you've come here just for the buzzer and you've heard about UVB76 and you're not sure what other number stations are, have a look in that section. There's a nice little description, and we've got intention to expand the site with much more detailed descriptions of what's going on about the number station groups and families and so on, to make it easier for people who have absolutely no idea what's going on to get involved in the whole scene. It was pointed out by Larson recently that listening to the podcast, if you know about number stations and you know about Enigma designations and E10 and S28 and so on, and what we're talking about, then it all makes sense. If you download the latest episode of the podcast and you listen to it and you've not been involved in number stations, it's a bit difficult. You have no idea what we're talking about. We need to make the Priom website more accessible. So we've got plans to make it more user-friendly over the next few weeks and more informative as to what it is you're actually looking at, as well as giving more information about radio in general, cryptography, and all the other areas involved in number stations. But keep looking around the site. There's been loads of updates in the last month, and I can't say, once again, have to say, incredibly proud of the team for all the effort they've been putting in. Anything anyone wants to talk about? We've been on for like an hour and a bit for now.
Well, there's something we didn't cover. I don't think it was covered in the last one, with it being the UVB special. Or if it did get covered, I passed out for a bit, but I don't think I passed out. So, M45 in place of S21. I was actually online at the time in the IRC, and I was listening to it on the radio, waiting for S21 when it came on. I also believe Danix was there. Someone else was there too, a newer member. I can't remember who it was, so whoever that was, I apologise. You're not getting your shout out here. Danix, do you want to discuss the M45 in place of S21?
On August the 5th and the 18th, I don't know if it did on August the 2nd, 11th, 16th, 18th too. I didn't know. But M45 was sent instead of S21. It is same ID, 973. I wonder if they were working on something and M45 was only way to send messages, or it was pure mistake, or just someone, some masters of M45 wanted to pop in. On August 23, S21 was hit again. S21 and M45 are stations originating from Kaliningradskaya Oblast in Russia. Both stations are use different IDs, but send same messages. They repeat them for a month, so you can check them many times if you've got them correctly. And that's why I think they are for training purposes. Because for what a spy may need same message. Originally, S21 is a guest voice, which is still my favorite one, but in 2010 they changed it into male voice of S06. M45 is hand-sent at 6 groups per minute, and it sounds just like M01B. Format and modulation are the same. It's MCW, which is simply CW in AM, modulated at 1200Hz. When listening to it, I often notice it low modulation level. Both S21 and M45 are simulcasting, where frequency for simulcast is always 400 kHz above the other one. Interestingly, at least come from three last figures of lower frequency. That's all about it.
So very interesting, M45 not only once, but a few times in place of S21. Interesting theory about it being a training station. I've also noticed S21 has particularly large modulation. I've never noticed about M45, but in truth, I haven't looked at M45 that much. It's interesting as well, the fact that it changed voice to the same, exact same voice that SO6 uses, because it then ties in S21 to the same family as SO6. Well, not necessarily tying it into the same family, it shows that it's probably the same organisation using that. So maybe it's S21 and M45 are the training stations for SO6 and that family, and AO6 and things like that, which is probably real traffic.
It's an interesting conclusion. But you could be onto something, definitely.
It's something we need to study more and look into, but we've got a lot to work with there. Like you say, when our database is done as well, it's going to be amazing. I was going to say, once that is developed, we're going to see lots of correlations we never saw before. It's just going to open up the connections. I think we're going to see S21 is very, very connected to SO6, EO6 and GO6. Though GO6 is very rare, it'll be interesting to see how often that is broadcast compared to the rest of the stations in its family. But yeah, I think they're probably all the true stations, and S21 may indeed be a training station.
Yeah, I have to admit, I've definitely got to bring my focus back onto the database at the moment. Last week's been really busy because UVB's been so active and we did the anniversary special podcast. But after I've done the little bit of cryptography programming that I'm planning for the website, I'll definitely get back onto the database and putting the messages into it and actually getting the pages working as a result.
Well, looking in the wave, I don't see any other things we haven't covered for this episode.
Yeah, I think that's about it, actually. And an hour and 20, we've more or less overlotted our normal hour-long time or so.
Yeah. Just to throw it in at the end, one of our members, during all the moving of the IRC, hasn't quite moved over yet. Sabotage Nick, if you're listening, move over. Come over to Freenode and join us, man. We miss you.
Yeah, it's not quite the same without you, Sabo. Come and join us, man.
I'm a cynical man. I miss the cynicism. I enjoy joining in the cynicism. So, come and be cynical with me, Sabo.
Yeah. Yes, he isn't here. He's definitely missing. It's not as much fun in the RSC without him.
Yeah, he did bring a lot of life to it. He's still in hash UVB, though, so we can talk to him in there. I stay in there on Mibbit. I stay in there so I can still talk to him. But yeah, it'll be good to see him move over. I think he'll move over, especially when we get our own server up and running. But let's hope that hurries up, because yeah, I missed Sabo.
Yep, agreed, we do miss Sabo.
But other than that, I think that wraps it up for this one.
Yep, I think we're done, guys. So shout now if you've got anything to say.
Woo!
Doesn't look like it. Well done, guys. It was a good flow to that one. Everyone was pretty on the ball.
Yeah,
good job.
I'm not going to be able to stick around too long. Sorry, you might want to edit this bit out, because I have to go to the pub.
No, that's it. We're saying goodbye now. Say goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
The fuck was that?
It was Horror Cat. That was a horror cat saying goodbye. Goodbye, listeners. See you for episode 11. Enjoy the shortwave.
Проспекту мне нет надо ничего. Я надел свои очки и не вижу никого. Эй, прохожий, проходи, эх, пока не получил. Эй, прохожий, проходи, эх, пока не получил. На концерты я хожу без билета. Осенью, зимой хожу, весной и летом. Эй, прохожий, проходи, эх, пока не получил. Эй, прохожий, проходи, эх, пока не получил. Прихожу домой я ночью, завожу магнитофон. Сосед за стенкой стонет, он увидел страшный сон. Эй, прохожий, проходи, эх, пока не получил. Эй, прохожий, проходи, эх.